Welcome everyone to Thunderdome Metal Reviews, your church of heavy metal, where we review metal albums, and that is what we are doing in the year of our Lord or our devil 2024. It is yet to be determined, probably just another year of existentialist dread of the great nothingness that is beyond all space and time. With that said,
Satan.
Yes, with that said, my name is Ben, and I'm one of the four merry crews who pilot this pirate ship. With me, as always, or at least most of the time, are David, Gabe, and Tracy in their respective domiciles of murder, chicken slaughter, and higher knowledge. By our powers combined, we are Thunderdome. How is everyone doing tonight?
So, like, we're the guardian quest for the people who want to achieve greatness in metal.
Yeah, or like Captain Planet, if he had drunk a bunch of antifreeze and was listening to Bolt Thrower. Yeah, sure. That's us.
I was like going to say Voltron, but maybe that's not a reference that most of our audience.
I'll form the head. Yeah.
Voltron. That's what it is.
It's Voltron. Exactly.
It's Voltron.
Voltron. That's actually pretty good. I like that. Very good.
Amazing.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
So basically, Voltron with double bass. Is that what? That would be, and more distortion.
Commando Sandoval in the middle of it.
I'm liking this album. Unfortunately, we're not reviewing that album. Just kidding. What are we reviewing, Ben? What's happening? What are we doing?
We are reviewing my pick for an album that was released in January, which I add parenthetically here will probably be the last new album that I pick of the year because I'm scarred from last year. Static X's Project Regeneration Volume 2, which is their eighth studio album. It was released on Otsego Entertainment Group. Has a runtime of 41 minutes and 20 seconds. Was produced by Ulrich Wild. We are fans of Ulrich Wild and his production most of the time. We'll see what we like about it this time or not. If you listen to the bonus tracks, it does bump the runtime to 48 minutes and 1 second, which I did because that is how it was listed on Spotify. The band is the deceased Wayne Static on lead vocals for the majority of the tracks, Tony Campos on bass and backing vocals, Koichi Fukada on lead guitar and keyboards, Ken J on drums, Zero or Edsel Dope on rhythm guitars.
You mean not Edsel Dope? Vocals.
I do not. And the additional personnel was Ulrich Wild on production and Edsel Dope on production and engineering.
You know, I like Dope and I like Static X, but I think Edsel Dope is better at being in this than being in his own band. I feel like this
Me
is...
too.
I know, yeah. And I like Dope, but this is just... This and Volume 1 were way better than that last Dope album. So, and again, I didn't dislike it. I think I gave it the highest grade of all of us by 100.
You did.
Shut up.
I wouldn't look. You gave it a B minus. The rest of us gave it a C.
Dope?
Yes.
You gave it a B minus. God. Oh, B minus. Oh, thank God. I think you said A minus. I'm like, I'm not that big an asshole. Come on. I gave the first volume of this an A minus. Jesus, Tracy. Yes, I did give that a B minus. This is better than that. And he seems to have grown another role. And I think they saved some good shit because you can, I don't know. I think I've gotten a little bit better at discerning which is which, what's resurrected and what is Edsel. But it's, I don't know. I thought this, we've all waited for this for, well, maybe not Gabe. Three of us have waited for this for a while.
Yeah. So.
I felt the same way, actually. It didn't sound to me like he was doing a Wayne Static impersonation. And that might just be that they didn't put as much production or as many effects on his voice as, in the first time. And I could be completely off my rocker on that because I don't
I thought
know
it
that
too.
For sure.
I thought it too. And I was actually okay with it. They like let me him, too. They were, they didn't, I don't know. Maybe people complained almost. I don't know. I noticed that too. It was a little weird. This is a little less weird. And he's very good at that growly sound, but I'm okay knowing who is who.
Me too.
Yeah, agreed. And I think part of it is also the overall sound of this album sounds a lot more like the first couple albums, Static X, than the last one did. Like that last one probably sounded more like the back half discography. And this one came in and sounded much more like Machine and God. John
Wisconsin Death Trip.
Yeah, Wisconsin Death Trip, Machine, and Start of War. Kind of like in Shadow Zone, that little like four-album run there.
Yeah, all of them have elements of all of it, but I agree with you. This one, and I think they did this on purpose. Because obviously they knew the material they had, right, in the arc of putting out both of these, even if it wasn't done. Yeah, this is a return to form, and Gabe just punches me in the throat. Anyway, this is...
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
I said it. I wouldn't have said it good as Tracy did, but like I had basically had the feeling that we were listening to early Static X while listening to this, just because of like where the songs seemed to be going, like what the compositions were like. But you know, fortunately, there's a lot of stuff on here that did pull me in, or like a fair amount of stuff that pulled me in. I would say, and I didn't listen to the, you know, the whole blast that we did together, by the way. This is like a coming full circle for me here. When I started it on Thunderdome, but it's roughly an hour. And it was awesome to listen to. I really just dug it. So it was interesting to go back to that after hearing this.
Which is the one you went back to? We just had a moment of silence.
Oh, so I didn't go back to the whole blast, but I made a 1 hour playlist with all the stuff that I liked from that blast.
Got it. Yeah, totally. Tight. Well, this probably sounded like some of that.
For sure.
Yeah, and I went and looked it back up, but a lot of the vocal stuff from the first one was taken from Start a War, so the fourth studio album. Mm. It was the recording processes of that. And it doesn't say, or at least I don't see where the vocal stuff from this came from. So I don't know if they were from the same recording sessions or later stuff, earlier stuff. Who knows? I think I read somewhere, and again, I could be wrong on this, that it was technology that made this possible, was because that they found these on ODA-88 tapes, and now they were able to clean them up. So it could have been older stuff that they were able to go back to for this.
For sure. It's hard to know. One of the things that changed the least about Static X was the vocals, right? There were other things that shifted, but him going, oh, I mean, there was a little bit of almost clean singing on Shadow Zone, but otherwise,
yeah,
he was very much who he was.
And I feel like you get some great callbacks on this one too, like the first couple albums.
Oh, yeah.
With the,
they know.
Yeah, definitely. Then who their fans are. This was,
they absolutely do. This whole thing's an homage album. Yeah,
I want to say this and not use it in a bad way, but it's entirely fan service. I mean, there's no other way.
I agree with this.
Yeah, I had a feeling, and I don't know whether this is true or not either, that this was them saying goodbye to Wayne. And whether Static X continues on beyond this, who knows? But I think that this is, you know, this is the last of the stuff that we have to him, or of him. So let's just, you know, do it right.
I think that's true. Yeah, I'm not sure they've decided. You know, I mean, obviously all of them, a lot of them needed to continue, but Edsel Dope, obviously, is doing his own shit. So they're touring this, though, I assume, right? I mean, obviously they couldn't. The first one was right smack dab in the fucking pandemic.
Yeah, but they toured on Red as well. Because then actually, I was really sad because I think they toured that with like Fear Factory and somebody else. And I was like, fuck yeah, that'd be awesome. But I don't remember now.
Resurrect all bands. Edsel Dope leads Fear Factory as well. He just...
Or it just be like Slipknot was, where it's just an entire, rotating cast, and eventually they never wanted to die, like Sean Graham and Corey Taylor said, nope, we want to continue after us, just keep placing everybody. Or Kiss, where they sign off away all their rights for AI to then continue creating themselves, and just like
our it's kids, funny that you mentioned that, Tracy, because I was listening to XM as I was driving around the other day, as I want to do, and Ozzy has a show where him and some other guy, and I never can remember what that guy's name is, but he's a guitarist, and anyway, it doesn't really matter. They were talking about how there is a big push now because VR technology and holograms have gotten good enough for people to record the artists, especially legacy acts like Ozzy or Rolling Stone or bands that might perish at any time. Yeah, go ahead, David.
I was simply going to say I'm close to one of the biggest hologram people based out of Germany. And literally, it's like, we need you to make David Bowie now. We need to, I mean, that is literally what's happening. Because as you know, venture capital has bought up all these catalogs of these people.
Yep. Indeed. Yep. And so that is the next frontier. And the reason that I bring that up, you know, beyond this context, I thought it was funny because the guy asked, he's like, would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to, like, be hologrammed and then be touring on 100 years from now, or actually I think he said 50 years from now. He's like, I guess it won't matter to you because you'll be dead. And Ozzy was like, well, I wish I would still be touring 50 years from now, because Ozzy would be happy to die on stage. But no, I do think that, like, that's the next frontier, and we're just going to be seeing that, or Beatles, fucking you know, Elvis Presley and
until we in turn are replaced with holograms.
Exactly.
You know what, I'm going to say about that is that I feel a lot less freaked out about, you know, Ezel Dope wearing a mask, you know, cosplaying, you know, Wayne Static than I do, you know, about like hologram Wayne's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
the hologram stuff really just creeps me out, partially where the impulse for that is coming from.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. also just like, you know, Ezel Dope clearly loves Wayne Static and what Wayne Static did. And that's, you know, that's a great way to pay homage, you know, to like be able to participate in that. And if it helps the band do what they probably wouldn't.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, naturally there's money involved in both kinds of approaches, but like, what are you going to do?
I think in this case, it's about $12. And in the case of digital Rolling Stones, it's millions. Yeah. In terms of the venues.
And I think it's, you get this weird situation though of like likeness rights to where like, mm-hmm. like here it's obviously fan service to an extent, but like Metallica in 40 years touring, you see in the hologram version, and all of a sudden you see a hologram version of Cliff showed up. It's like, really? And like, you guys are milking that for what's going on now at this point in time. And so it's just this very weird cross of like, for the fans versus for the money, I feel like.
If they're, look, it's only for the fans because it's for the money. And if they're already fucking dead, what does it matter if they died in a bus wreck or just died later? From the perspective of capital, it doesn't care. This is entirely profit driven.
Exactly. And especially, and I don't know like Cliff Burton's family, what their situation is. So I don't want to speak to that directly, but if it's somebody who passed away and it's been several years, and especially if they passed away before the band broke big, like Metallica did, and Metallica was a big band when Cliff passed away. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like black era Metallica big.
No kidding.
So, you know, somebody comes to the family and offers to write them a substantial check and then give them some residuals on the use of the hologram or whatever. Who's to say?
Yeah. And I think that's part of it, but we know it's going to get into some likeness issues because, like,
it will.
Could you imagine the battles we fought in court when the people holding the Beatles copyrights for music are going to be suing the owners of,
and of course, they will.
Paul McCartney's part of it, just of his likeness, so they could use him in a VR, like hologram?
I don't sound this way very often. I'm going to sound very reactionary right now. But the thing you're describing right now really just feel like the death of culture to me. In the same way that AI writing, ChatGPT, sure, yes, it can generate an answer. But every bit of it is living off fumes of what actual people did in the past. And there's this issue that it'll overrun it soon and crowd out the marketplace until that is the only thing being generated. I'm really worried about this. That is what's happening now. Right. And so eventually, so essentially simulacrum will asphyxiate actual generation of culture and art because it is more profitable faster. Right. Like it.
And studios still using AI to generate a season's worth of TV show and for one person to come in and clean it up.
Yes. I mean, and again, this is being driven by a thing larger than the music industry itself. Really, it's venture capital. I mean, I could say the same thing about healthcare or the American housing market. It's venture capital moving in that's done this. Right. Like I'm not going to pretend the record industry in 1965 was not about the money. I'm not a fucking idiot. But my God, like, I mean, it was people that at least cared about music and were involved in it. I mean, the thing now is essentially purely accumulation machine. Oops. Sorry, this got grim, but I don't know. We're talking about zombie Wayne Static. So
it's Project Regeneration, David.
You're damn right it is.
Get it right.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
I agree with that, too. No, this is the birth pains of all this that we're watching right now. Well, might as well talk about it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But this isn't that. It is, as Gabe said, an homage.
Totally, yeah. This is not that. It might be like a few meters away from the precipice of that, but it is not that.
I mean, if you're the members of this band, man, what, you're going to be the guitarist of Static X? That doesn't take you very... I mean, I get it. For them, this is life. Right to the... The rest of them, they don't have a bunch of other games. I mean, maybe they do. I don't pretend to know their lives, but they're not Ezel Dope.
And this is also, in a sense, they're paying homage to a friend and a family member. Kind of like this, as Ben said, this is their way of saying goodbye. Yeah. This isn't some jackass going, I can make money off this. Let's do it.
No, it's them.
I mean, they probably like we could do make money off this, but it's not entirely for the purpose. Pretend that
they're not making money off of this, but
it's not the sole driving factor.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And Tony Campos, who's the bass player, has been in all kinds of things from Ministry of Soulfly. You know, briefly, I think he was. He was in Asesino, not Brujeria, but Brujeria adjacent. Anyway, we took a long way around. but back to the album. Now, I thought that this definitely sounded like, I will agree with what Tracy said, that this definitely sounded like an earlier Static X album. The production on it is very clean. I would expect nothing less, given who the production team was on this.
I wouldn't go as far as I think I like this more than the first one.
I do. I would easily say that.
Wow.
I definitely like this more than the first one.
Yeah, I do too. I like the first one also. You know, I give it the highest stupid-ass grade, but this one's slightly better than that.
Yeah, yeah. I did not like it as well as version one. But that's cool. There are some.
Oh, you guys were talking about Project Regeneration Volume 1. I was talking about the very first record.
Oh.
Wisconsin Death Trip? Oh.
Yeah.
You like this more than that? Oh, shit.
Absolutely. Look.
Wow.
I mean.
Interesting. Okay.
This is like in the can. Like, they had this stuff for God knows how long and, you know, probably had some time to work on it while, you know, Wayne was still alive. So, I mean, look. Say what you want about that record. It is like, you know, it's path breaking in a certain way, but it's also super, super boring compared to what they could do. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. It's so classic to me, but again, I was back in my day. But you know, I get you're looking at it dispassionately in a way I'm not able to. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, same here.
It's too hard. I'm like, no, but that album is foundational to my dumbass being a 22-year-old anyway.
Yeah, the three of us who have sat with the Static X for 20 plus years at this point now, and then Gabe's like, I heard him yesterday, this is better than that.
And we're like, oh shit, we don't even know what to say. We're just like staring, blinking. Like,
it's heresy, that's what it is.
Amazing. But did you like this one? Did you like Volume 1 or Volume 2 better? If we get away from Wisconsin Death Trip.
Yeah, I didn't listen to Volume 1, so I'm going to have to listen to it now.
Got it. You just did the blast. Okay. Well, shit, Muffins. Well, it was sort of like this. But I agree, it did have a slightly different sound.
Yeah. It was more, as Tracy has already said, it was kind of more mid. Mm-hmm. Not like mid the way the kids are using that now, but like mid-career.
Mid-period.
Yeah. It reminded me more of Shadow Zone. Yeah. And a bit of Star Wars, whereas this is really, I think, those first two.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, there's elements of all in all, given it's the same fucking band at the end of the arc, but yes.
And I feel like in the Volume 1, like kind of there was a little bit more, the tracks were kind of more closer in quality, I think. Well, this one, there's obviously, I think, in my mind, at least two or three that stand above the rest by a very far amount.
Yeah, there's a few tracks on here that I think are incredibly good. I don't think any of them are bad, but there are some real standout here that I think rank up there with their best stuff.
Yeah, like they've been stuck in my head for a very long time since I hearing it, this album. And I'm like, since I first heard it at the beginning of the week, it's like, damn, these tracks are fucking baller. And then I didn't quite have that reaction with the first Project Regeneration. I guess to kind of push the door open. Who wants the Kool-Aid Man to just jump through and be the first one to talk about tracks, I guess?
I picked it.
So. Yeah, do it. Do it.
Zombie is a motherfucker. That song is so good. I love that quite a bit. I couldn't really decide whether I liked Chick Boy that much or not, mainly because I don't know what the fuck it's supposed to be. Then
just in case, boy.
For sure. I liked Black Star, Kamikaze, Dark Place, Disco Otsego. Their cover of Terrible Lie was fantastic. I might like that better than the original version of Terrible Lie. So those are the ones that really stood out to me.
I am going to say nearly all of these. I mean, this album's fun. That run from Stay Alive to Just In Case Boy, which is, again, a callback to its first album. I think it's the first one. That's good shit. Black Star's all right. But then, man, I love the run from Kamikaze to Run for Your Life, that sort of midsection is so fucking good. Kamikaze, that song is awesome. And I don't know, maybe it's where I am in my life. But No Hope and Take Control made a ton of sense. Disco at CEO, they've put out so many of these, right? Every album has some. And this one just leans heavily into the evil disco thing, so it was pure fan service. From Heaven, I thought that was actually one of the, maybe the weakest track, actually, the putative ending track. So that was, I don't know, it was not bad. It was just something so-so. I agree that Terrible Lie cover is fucking fantastic. So, but on the whole, I thought this was, I like the first one too, but I think this one's even better. And does remind me of some of that early stuff.
For me, I think an open rule, I will stay alive. And then Black Star was my standout track for this album. Like, I fucking enjoy that track a lot. No Hope and Take Control, them two, that 1-2 there, are fantastic. And it was interesting looking at Wikipedia that apparently the delay for this album came from Stay Alive and Black Star. Like, they found particularly the stuff to create those two tracks late in the process. And so it was very interesting hearing that, like, oh, these are the ones we got white in the recording process, are the ones that I particularly kind of drew from on here. I agree with you, Terrible Lie is a fantastic cover. I don't even know if I've actually heard the original, but the cover of it's fantastic. And I'm just glad we got So I Grabbed My Shovel. Like, we got that little throwback in here as well.
I thought we reviewed Pretty Hate Machine.
We did.
We did, yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, it's on Pretty Hate Machine.
That's like 1 of 750 we've done that just kind of, you know.
Dude, I get it. We've done so fucking many. And it was a foundational record for me and Ben, but I think for you it was like newer shit.
We clockworked Orange Tracy, so it's fair that he doesn't remember. he's repressed it.
That is by far an album that is kind of like, oh, it's 1 of 750. Here we go. Just
yeah.
And interesting to hear what you all like, because I think I like different stuff for the most. David and I have some overlap. I liked Stay Alive as well. I thought that was a good opener. I found Kamikaze is like vaguely racist, I think, but I'll just leave that there. The best run is No Hope through Tone. Like, and Tone is the best song on this record, hands down. But that little run there, No Hope, Take Control, and Tone is really good. Disco at Seago is okay. I also love the Nine Inch Nails cover.
Guess that brings us to grades. I like this a little bit less than I liked Project Regeneration Volume 1. So I'm going to come in just a smidge lower and give it a B.
So I gave Regeneration a B, and I enjoy this more. So I'm going to come in and give it a B+. I don't think it's quite as good as some of the early Machine and Wisconsin Death Trip, but it's definitely a pretty baller.
I'm using similar logic. No. Go ahead, Gabe. Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think this is pretty good, but it's not quite as good as I think some of my favorite of theirs. So I'm gonna give this a B-.
I am gonna use the same logic as Tracy. I like this a hair more than the last one. I give that one a 91, like a punk bitch. So I'm gonna give this one a 92. Because of course I am. But anyway, yeah, I'm gonna give this a 92.
You are brand whore, David.
Brand whore. I do not deny it, and yes, I would buy it. Fuck off.
I'd buy this one as 2. I mean, I think at the point in time, Static X, if buying records is still a thing, has hit that point where it's, hey, new Static X album, I guess I'm buying it. Like, that, no question asked kind of deal.
I would buy this. I don't know that anybody's really a no questions asked buy anymore, but I would buy this for sure.
I don't think I would buy the album. I think I would buy Tone, because I think that's the best song on this album.
And then make it your ringtone on your Nokia?
Exactly, yeah.
I get it. Those were the days. Speaking of the days, Tracy, what does the day bring to us when you review an album next?
The next album is courtesy of David, and it is Lucifer 5 by Lucifer. Should be interesting.
I picked it, and I'm not sorry.
Kind of picked it a little blind, too, from what it sounded like.
Slightly, but, you know, I mean, I fucking like Lita Ford and fucking, anyway, we'll see. You know, I listened to it for a second, I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, I wanted to pick Static X, but I'm just a poser, so it was too late.
Ben, did you better draw on that one?
So it was too late.
You grabbed your shovel. And then I picked another one someone had picked, and then I picked another. I'm like, damn it. Anyway, it's how it goes. Well, I'm excited about that because it's us together. The end.
It is. Just tune in here next time on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Call
Broken Bacall Records.
So I grabbed my shovel.